Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Hello, drinking bros. This is Ross Patterson. Quick disclaimer about tonight's episode. There was a tornado watch in Wilmington, North Carolina, where I usually record. So the audio was going in and out on my side. If it sounds like I'm talking through a phone, I did. Why did I complete the episode? Because I love you guys and I know you fucking needed it. So enjoy tonight's episode. I was underneath a tornado watch. Yeah, that's how much I love you guys. Enjoy.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Oh my God, guys, welcome back to Drinking Bros. This is where we talk about things that are prevalent. Wait, did I say relevant or prevalent? I don't know. Fuck it.
Doesn't matter.
I have an astute thought.
I love it.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Drinking Bros. Wow. We're just chilling like the huge,
that
man.
That was weird.
I know. We went weird.
You started off strong. You started off strong, Matt.
I'm always strong, dude. You know, I bench press you naked in bed, dude. I'm always strong.
Is what he started out with, that, was that strong?
Is that considered
strong? Or was that San Fran?
It was a strong San Francisco man.
Yeah, it was.
Listen, very strong San Francisco man.
Favorite joke from basketball, how to speak San Franciscan. Vagina.
Vagina.
It's just that guy's butthole.
Well, guys, we are back here with another
20 seconds in.
Maybe amazing, maybe crazy, little cliche. Yeah. I don't know what we are, but we're back with the Drinking Bros.
We're flechettes.
Which is four of the fucking craziest people we've ever met.
Little darts.
I'm gonna start it off with you know, we call him the fat boy Air Force guy, but Jared, Jared is, you know, one of the most talented weirdos I've ever met in my life. We love to hate him. You love to hate
him. Our very own Rain Man.
Jared Taylor, a.k.a. JT. Say hi to the Drinking Bros.
Hello. That video I posted on Instagram the other day, I look really fucking fat.
Yeah,
I
know. We didn't want to say anything.
I look big.
Your dance moves did not help.
It looks like I'm hiding a keg in my midriff.
You're definitely a soggy bottom boy.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Come tomorrow, or Friday.
Whoa.
I fly away. Yeah. I will be deprived of food for 15, 16 days.
Good.
I'll be hiking.
Good.
I'll probably come back lean.
With their six-pack?
I would love to hear the end of that story, but I have to introduce the rest of the crew.
Wow.
To my right, one of my best friends from fucking ever, Mr. Vincent Vargas Rocco.
Who
drinks beers bigger than his chin.
You've only known him like 6 years longer than me.
Jealous, bro?
Like, what's up, bro?
What's up? We kicked in doors together, bro.
Listen,
you mad, bro? You mad?
You guys went to war.
What's up, Ross?
Oh, yeah, you guys went to war. That's right. Jared's mad already, but you guys went to war.
No, we went to spring break. It was called war. And that sexy motherfucker talking in North Carolina, who is not in the studio with us, is Ross Patterson, director, actor, just all around. You know, he's the most
sexual icon.
Just sexual icon.
Yeah.
What really pulls through is humility. You know, just such a humble guy.
One layer beneath the beads.
You know, like if a monkey's tail was really fat.
Oh, that's cool.
That's exactly what it is.
Ross, since I get to do the introduction on this, I'm going to call you Ross Quickfoot Patterson because he's the quickest motherfucker in a conversation. You cannot talk shit to Ross and expect to win. It's not going to happen.
I could light up anyone like a goddamn joint.
We should have an improv show.
If you're at the counter of a fucking Hertz rental, like, you're going to get fucked up by Ross.
It's true.
Oh, easily. I'm getting the mid-size when I order the fucking compact. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get that. That's how fast I am. He's smooth and fast.
He's slow as smooth and smooth as fast.
No, he's fast and smooth. What's fast and smooth? Like a dolphin?
Paul Walker?
Brian McKnight? Oh, shit. R.I.P. Paul Walker.
Suge Knight?
R.I.P. Paul Walker.
Suge Knight? He's not smooth.
He's just, it's a speed bump?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
All right. To finish this introduction, gentlemen,
Who else is here?
Drinking Bros is a show where we talk a lot of shit, and I am talking and hosting, not really hosting.
Who else is here, though?
Would you shut the fuck up and go eat less carbs? How about you do that?
Myself, I rhyme with the thing
that women clean their vagina with, douchey Matt Best. That is me. And we have a special guest tonight.
I like that, actually, Matt. You know, the thing that women clean their vagina with. That's a nice thing.
Yeah.
You said it like it wasn't a nice thing. It came out to be a nice thing. It's a summer breeze. Yeah.
We have a friend who's working on some shows with us today and a lot of other cool stuff in the future. Weston, welcome to Drinking Bros, brother.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Yeah. Weston, where are you at, Weston? What's your company name?
I'm on the futon right now.
He's over there in the futon.
You can't see me.
Yeah.
I don't even know where testosterone is. Ross, you can't put that much testosterone on one panel. If I was to go over there, it's like
you really can't. What company you work for? You work for We Are the Mighty, correct?
We Are the Mighty, sir. Yes.
Yeah. He's like a more manly, more badass Ryan Seacrest.
Tactical Ryan Seacrest.
I told you guys that's it. We're gonna do a sketch because.
We call Tactical Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah. You know, you guys are in trouble. You're all operating, and you're tearing up shit, but you just need that last finishing
Except
touch.
Weston's built like a man.
Yeah.
I want to do a skit where it's like time to operate, but then I'm actually like the old operators where you're moving the telephone cords.
Dude, we got to get some of those things with those holes and then the cords.
It's called glory holes you're talking about?
No. The cord for the operators.
Yeah. We'll get a glory hole for your house. And that way, look, it's anybody's guess after the podcast is over. You put your dick through there, and then it's a nice surprise. It's a nice way to end the show.
Some risky shit.
I don't want that.
I'm just going to intervene tonight, and I'm just going to throw the sponsors out. So we can get this done and go right down.
Let's do it.
All right. So tonight's episode, as always, is sponsored by, I have no, you know, I we don't care about this whiskey company, but the best whiskey of all company. We're not owners of it. No, Lead Slinger's Whiskey, obviously, or that was a really bad intro to Let's Sing Your
Delicious. No, it's delicious. It's delicious. Yeah. It tastes like Selena Gomez's tits. That's how good it is.
Whoa. I have Selena Gomez's number, actually, if you didn't know.
That you do.
We should text her right now. Because I've drank too much.
That's exactly why I brought it up. Yeah. Right. There's been an urban legend that Matt has had Selena Gomez's number for a long time.
Thank you.
I literally have her number.
Oh, yeah,
I know.
Say it.
Push the fucking send button.
I'm gonna send her a photo.
If you guys could do that commercial, when you want a real man.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys could do that commercial and
use the one in the tuxedo where you look like a gentleman.
Yes.
No. We're doing the one that the selfie you took today. It looks really good. The color's great.
I just texted her. You don't know me, but you should.
Oh my God.
That's great. That's going to a cell phone right now.
Oh, that's part of the Android users. Lesinger's whiskey. The police will be there in 5 minutes. To hit on chicks.
Yeah. Is it too late now to say sorry?
No, along with Lead Slingers, Ross, we have the best book of all time. And what might that be, brother?
It's the greatest piece of literature ever written. Better than Shakespeare. Better than Socrates.
Hold it closer, Rocco.
Hold the book closer. It is At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. The first ever romance novel for dudes. The funniest book ever written.
I will say it is like audible pornography. It is intense.
It is.
I have laughed so much. Like a text. Like it's very rare that I would laugh that hard at text. And you just do with that book.
It makes you laugh so much you'll sneeze out cum, you know?
Whoa.
It really will.
You'd have to have it inside.
It really will.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's connected. It's connected.
Is it all connected?
Yeah. I can't believe I just texted Selena Gomez.
I've done it before. Who cares?
Who cares? Let Selena Gomez know who you are. Yeah. Let her know who Matt Best is.
Whoever her boyfriend is wears such tight pants.
I will fuck him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we'll fuck him.
Yeah. Yeah. At a dominance, bro.
And then fuck him up.
You got a movie coming out this summer, Matt. You got a huge podcast. You're on top of the world. You got 625,000 followers on Facebook.
You're the guy right now. It's your time, kind of a big deal, bro.
If Selena listens to this, I'm going to throw it out there, Ross. Like, it's real.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to impress you with fancy dinners. Listen, there's two things that are going to happen. I'm going to be a man, and you're going to get fucked.
That's the way this goes.
Oh,
because you've always been with children.
And
my wife Melissa will high five me. She'll go get that Selena pussy, and we're gonna handle it.
Get it. Wow.
And I'm sure Selena Gomez is sitting at home going, God, you know the one thing I was hoping that somebody would say is I'm gonna get fucked, like just fucked.
I'm gonna text him back.
I will be deep inside.
I think deep inside she might be like, but on the outside she's like. Ew-y. Right?
No, she's getting older now.
She deals with the Hollywood guys, man. She needs an actual man.
Dude,
it's
Hollywood
like, listen,
is full of bullshit.
Listen, I'm going to bench press. Yeah. I'm going to shoot a fucking gun. I'm going to fucking turn you
and
over.
I'm going to ignore you.
Yeah.
And then when I'm ready, then it's your time.
Yeah.
But here's the most awkward part. Matt listens to Bieber, so he's going to be having sex with her to Bieber.
Here's the thing.
No.
Her ex-boyfriend.
No, that's the thing, though. She's gonna immediately be like, oh, this dude is a dumbass guy that lifts weights and has tattoos. Then I whip out Justin Bieber on the guitar and sing it. She's like, oh, fuck.
Oh, it's like having a manly.
He's also got a sensitive side. Yeah.
Everything I've ever wanted, she's going to be like,
I'm wetter than the Puget Sound. You know?
Oh, God, that's a wet sound. That's a wet sound.
That is a really wet sound.
If it's a fresh meat market and fish market, I'm in. I'll go down on that for Starbucks. You know what I'm saying?
God,
so many puns.
I honestly think Justin Bieber would benefit from having a regular hangout with
us. I want to play guitar
like,
with
for
Justin
us
Bieber,
to be mentors
so.
To him, like just to say, hey, dude,
hey, I can
we
get his
get
number.
It.
I can you, get his number.
You know, you got super famous when you were young. You're really talented. That's great. But come with us. We're going to teach you how
number.
To be a fucking dude.
I just realized. Check this out. My buddy I grew up with in L.A. is one of the trainers that when you've seen him boxing, that's Ricky Funes. That's my buddy,
dude.
Oh,
God.
I'm going to get his number.
We should.
Let's do this. Let me come in here and let me film it and let's put Bieber.
He doesn't even know his fucking name? Come on, God.
He's
Weston, God damn it. He's one of the most famous motherfuckers in the world and you don't know his name?
Is that's it like saying, I that's like saying, oh, no, come on, Ross.
So let's hear. What do you have?
That's like me saying, oh, Donald Trump is running for president.
No. I don't want to run the guy into the ground.
Let's put
a man boot camp.
Let's put him through man camp.
Yeah, man camp.
Man
camp.
So Justin Bieber spends a weekend with Matt Best and the crew.
Oh my god,
dude! Like, and we're not going to do the gay shit where we like smoke them. We're going to fucking shoot guns.
Yeah,
we're going to show them what it's like to be a fucking man.
We're going
to
lift real weights.
We're going to play some guitar.
We're going to
play
some guitar. We're going to play guitar.
Shoot guns.
We're going to teach him how to curse. We're going to teach him how to really.
Did you say curse?
Yeah.
How about you teach him how to say fuck? Maybe.
Yeah.
You're so weird.
Air Force guy.
We're still working on JT. He's in the last phase of man camp.
He doesn't know how to properly.
Hey, no, let's take him out
to
the tactical ranch.
You sound like the dad of
Let's take him out to the tactical ranch for a weekend of fucking man shit.
Helicopters, guns,
hard rock,
fire.
Hard rock, buddy carries and shit.
Yeah, buddy carries with us.
Yeah, with whiskey.
We'll just get fucked up too.
I just want like hot brass hitting his neck on the line. And if
shut the fuck down, motherfucker. Keep shooting.
That's your next tattoo, bitch. That's your next tattoo. We'll get tattoos on your neck.
Yeah.
We all get.
And then he's going to go around and show every girl, yeah, I shot with Matt Best.
I'm going to text Ricky right now.
So along with that, we have one more sponsor that we're willing to bring in the company.
We do. We have John Parkus and Huify. Huify, who is allowing us to record here on a weekly basis in Wilmington, North Carolina, for all your advertising needs. It's Huify. And then one more. This one's for Jared Van Sant Law. It's time to drop the hammer of justice.
Yes!
Drop the greatest attorney in the state of Georgia. Yeah, it's David Van Sant.
I love it.
He was also in Helen Keller versus Nightwolf.
Like whoa.
Sorry, Van Sant Law. Drop the hammer of justice.
Do we not have like a sponsor that actually pays our bills or anything?
We do. We do. And at the end of the night, we will be talking about CarnivalClub.co, who supplies all of our fine meats to us. And Jared will be talking about him at the end.
Fine meats.
Oh god!
Fine meats.
Hey, Ross,
on that fine meat, what are you drinking tonight, Matt? What are you drinking, Matthew?
I will tell you what I'm drinking, but I'm surprised Jared's so fucked up for not drinking out of a French press.
No, he's not
drinking out of a coffee cup.
Is it a coffee mug?
So weird.
I'm sleeping
on the mic.
I'm drinking a certain whiskey, unfortunately, because I didn't have time. I was busy doing some other shit to buy our own whiskey, which I always drink. Whiskey that actually promoted the reason why we started our own whiskey company. I will not say them by name.
No, we won't.
Which is why I was pouring it under the table.
Out with the green, in with the red, white, and blue, motherfucker.
Yep, exactly.
I was drinking Jameson, man. I'm a fan of Jameson. It's not as good as Led Zeppelin.
You just said you weren't going to say the name.
Yeah, they can use it.
Yeah, you just said that. You just said that.
You know, I will say with drink, to go on a weird off-road, Jameson.
Let's hear it.
Did we talk about this podcast? We started drinking bros, what was it, like almost a year ago?
Oh, yeah. Over a year ago. Yeah, because we...
Jameson Whiskey, like 6 months ago, started a social media outlet called Drinking Bros. Drinking Brothers.
Yeah.
And it was this huge...
Drinking Brothers,
huge marketing campaign, and we all laughed. It was like, right, I guess we're on their radar. Guys. This is kind of cool.
It didn't do so well.
No, in fact, it significantly failed, but...
great, dudes.
Yep, drinking some whiskey and ice, guys. What are you drinking, Ross?
Bieber. Man, I'm still on the we're still under the tornado watch, so it's the King Cobra, the drink of champions.
Can give us a
the
big
King Cobra.
Give the audience a swig. Just get a good one.
Yeah.
Oh man, put it to lips.
Fuck, bro.
I love it.
Yeah. You see that going down? It's like how to survive as a menace in South Central.
So this podcast is going to be really fucked up. I have JT waving meat in front of my face. They're eating we're talking. So
CarnivoreClub.co. Yeah, we love it.
What are you drinking, JT?
I've got, you know, Black Rifle and
this shit shows up here. I love it.
I've got Tito's Vodka and some fucking, I don't know, clear shit. Whatever.
He's getting down.
You are. Jared, you're in fine form tonight.
I'm sorry. Where the fuck am I supposed to be right now?
Rocco, what do you
know? Hey, you're exactly where you need to be. You're home. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You're home. Jeez. With the four of us, you're home.
Thank you.
What about you, Rocco? What do we got, Rocco?
Tecate, man. I found some old fucking warm Tecates, and we're hammering them down, baby.
They were just under the glass.
They are warm. Boy. That's disgusting. Yeah. It is warm.
Boy.
Nice. Weston, what do you got?
Yes.
I got some leftover prison hooch from our last guest.
I'm so glad you brought that in.
This is
the Leavenworth hooch.
Yep. This was the Leavenworth Orange Rind 2015.
Good year.
Done by Terrell.
Is that toilet or sink edition?
I forget. That's a great toilet.
I don't mean to be snobby, but I believe now I've worked my way up to the sink.
Yeah, the sink is a really good edition.
There were a couple facts that he left out that I learned last night that I thought were extremely interesting.
What?
80% of guys are in Leavenworth for child molestation crimes.
Oh, yeah. Chomos. They're called chomos. Chomos.
And
child molesters are called chomos.
They all read the rap sheets, so it's almost like a rank. Like, so he was talking about there was one guy that was in Leavenworth that a girl was sexually assaulted in his company, and when the first sergeant and the commander didn't do anything, he killed both of them. So he's in Leavenworth for a long time, but they're kind of like, hey, bro, good on you.
Good. Yeah, dude.
Wow. I want to go.
God, I always want to rant. I tell you.
Rant.
Man.
What do you want to say?
Yeah, rant. It's a goddamn podcast.
If only you had an outlet
that's
where
what
you could
do.
Say whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm eating meat. I just want to hear what the fuck you got to say, bro.
No, I'll tell you, man.
Yeah.
So at this point in my life, man, I'm probably a hippie. I swear to God. I am cool with whatever decision that you want to do in life, whatever you want to do, whether it's sexual preference, personal opinion, whatever you want to do, I'm for it. Obviously, if those opinions and decisions affect other people, then there's more shit that you have to take into consideration. But, like, the whole child thing, dude, like, I'm not more adamant on one thing in my life. And maybe, like, dude, and I don't have kids, but, like, you're fucking beautiful kids, man. I consider them my nieces and nephews. And Jared,
oh, it hurts.
Your daughters, like that to me,
to
like,
think about
there's
shit,
a level there where I have not been such a psychopath in my head where I've, like, I've had dudes that shoot at me. I'm like, ah, does this guy deserve his eye? Fuck, I'll kill him. But, like, if someone touched my fucking niece, like, I wouldn't want to shoot them. I would make it the most graphic death ever. Like, I can't
explain
how much, like, it's you're the fucking epitome of the biggest piece of fucking shit in life, because there's such, it's an innocent soul, right? There's a certain transition you go through where it's like you become an adult. Like, kids are just, they're innocent. They're so vibrant and understanding
the
of life.
The purest
form of humanity. Yeah. And it's a beautiful fucking thing. And to taint that or to fuck with it, it's just like, you deserve to fucking die. Yep.
There should be a little special part of hell. Like,
I'm sure there is.
Because I feel the same way. We should have a prison for just those guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, on a daily basis, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, they should be raped. And then outside of that.
Yeah, yeah,
you know. And no, but you go old school medieval where you start burning them every day. Like,
yeah, I'm not talking normal rape.
Stopping them alive.
Yeah, dip your dick in honey,
fucking
put it in
them
fucking,
out of dominance.
You know, in some kind of sand, and then fuck them in the
ass. I'm talking Marcel Wallace. I'm talking donkey punching. I'm talking something that's the size of a barrel fitting in there.
And that's a fucked up thing, and people might talk shit at me for saying this, but it's like,
no, fuck those guys.
I don't think anyone will either. I don't think anyone will either.
I don't think there's a pedophile, like, sympathizer.
No.
All of a sudden, Mambla's going to come after you right now?
No. I'm not talking about my stance. I'm talking about what I'm about to say. I think that, like, death is an easy out, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You can kill somebody. I really think that people need to pay. They need to fucking pay.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have a dude that, like, maybe got, you know, like, the death penalty. I'm actually for capital punishment under certain circumstances.
Hell yeah.
Now, necessarily, like, sometimes the dude just needs to die. He's a shitty person. Kill him. Get it over with. Get him out of this
just
world.
Just get him out.
Certain people need to really suffer, and you could call me a piece of shit for saying that.
The DMV every day.
They need to suffer just so their suffering is a culmination until their death, where I think
one of the cool things is when people rip people apart with two horses going the opposite direction.
Dude, that's cool. You know what I
always
thought?
Yeah, I love
that. It's like,
I always thought, and Evan and I, Evan and I have talked about this before. I thought about a movie.
You and Evan are so...
Just stop. Like, we had talked about where the plot of this movie is where our agency or whatever, our business, we broke these guys that were convicted and guilty of child sex crimes out of prison and then released them to the fathers of that kid
in a
building empty in the woods with a floor drain, like, and a pressure washer, and said, hey, you get as much time as you need. Here is the man, because imagine that would be the worst thing, is when that guy goes to prison and you have no access to him. I mean, you know, you would call us right away, say, hey, we're breaking this motherfucker out because I need my time with him.
Come on, bro.
There's no other closer.
It's one of those
things. At that time, you pull the whole Sons of Anarchy. You commit a crime to go in, and then you join the Brotherhood, and then you take them out.
What's that movie where it's fucking Ben Affleck, and he's like, listen, man, I'm going to do something. No questions asked. He goes, who's driving, you or me? Right, it's exactly what it is. Like, hey, man,
that's what you need. That's what you need. Like, in your life,
and I would be willing to do that for any of you in this room. No. If you said, hey,
yeah,
here's the situation, we're going to commit a crime to go get this motherfucker, but I need him for my closure. I'd be like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's
I'd be down. I'd be down as well. Because I also know if something fucked up happened to you, you wouldn't rat me out either. You'd
absolutely
be like, all right, cool.
Not.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to
now
prison,
we're good
bro.
In this group. Listen, it's a good foursome.
Ross, I don't rat people out. I just chew two pieces of gum. That's all I do. Right, James?
I know you do. I know. And that's a super inside joke that Dates he loves.
He loves
it. And JT loves a bunch.
I'm hungry.
So we had a big week here for the boys and for the movie for Range 15. We are coming out in theaters this summer in June with a sponsorship through Tug.
We've hit 4 million now. We're now 4 million views.
The trailer has hit 4 million views as of yesterday, which is exactly 4 weeks to the day that Matt Best released it on his Facebook page, and we are now about to go into theaters here in about 3 months. And it's going to be in cities everywhere.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to talk about what that means to you guys. First of all, Matt, because one, you know, you're the lead of this movie. You're about to be on theaters, you know, around the continental United States. And two, like, dude, is that going to be fucking weird sitting watching yourself in a movie for the first time?
Oh, man, not necessarily. You know, the way I look at this shit, man, like, you know, we've been, it's not like I just got offered a movie one day. Like, this crew sitting next to me right here, JT and Rock, and I have, like, fucking hustled since day one. And, like, you know, it's fun to be the center of attention sometimes, but at the end of the day, like, a lot of people, they'll be like, oh, whatever you're going to label me as. But we've worked so hard for the product that it's just like, I want to bring entertainment to people. And you know that too, like, because obviously you're the director and an actor in the film. And it's like, dude, our number one goal, it's like none of us, like, sure, we have our egos. We're all confident guys. But it's just like none of us ever chased fame. We don't want fame. I don't give a fuck about any of that. I just want my friends and our community to laugh.
It was literally filling a void, gap that was.
It's wonderful. And if consistent. You really look at this film, and I've watched it, goddamn, 20 times, the rough cut, just working on edits, like, it's what we set out to do. It really is. Like, it's so.
Yeah, it really is.
It's so
it really
edgy.
Is.
It's so fucked up. And a lot of people won't see the hours that Vince and JT and I all sat in a fucking room yelling at other parties, like, this is, you're not changing your fucking script. Like, and whatever, to sit in front of a film or in a camera and go, oh, like, and laugh and play your part, that's whatever. But it's kind of the whole back end of everything that we've done over the last 2 years to make this what we want it to be. And that is special to me. I'm super excited for people just to enjoy it. And there's going to be haters. I don't give a fuck. But the people that are really going to enjoy us, and I know there's going to be thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that are going to watch this film and go, holy fuck.
They finally did it.
We need this. We need this.
Yeah.
And for
you, Jared, it's going to be kind of surreal sitting there at the premiere watching a movie where, let's face it, you put all of us together. Like, you found me, Matt, you know, Rocco on different ends of the earth and kind of built this little team. And I know you have a huge passion for movies growing up, but you've always had a huge passion for movies growing up.
That
and
is
now,
JT,
you know,
the master networker. I'll give you that, man.
Yeah.
I had a friend, a TACP friend that was here last night, and he kind of asked me low down the whole story. So last night I told the whole from start to finish timeline, and it was like, it literally like opened up with how I had found you, like when I stumbled across FDR and how much I was excited about FDR. When I finally got to see FDR, I was like, oh God, this was so funny. I really want to know this guy. I started studying your work and going, wow, this dude really did it. He started making just movies for himself and he was succeeding at it. I really want to know more about this guy. At the same time, we had started building everything that we started building. And then all of a sudden, my biggest thing to say about that was when I emailed you that first script, I was so intimidated. And I said in that email, look, I'm sure you get this 100 times a day. But, you know, our company is very successful right now. We have the cash to do this around this budget. I would just love for you to take a look at this and tell me what you think, because we're going to go through with it. And I did not expect a response for almost 6 weeks. Like, I just knew, like, okay, I'm going to wait a while to hear
something. You know the
back.
Funny part about that? And Rocco, I want your opinion too. It's like, so when the whole movie idea came out, Rocco and JT were actually like the forerunners that created Range 15. They were like, I was deployed at the time.
Yep.
And they were like, man, we should make a movie. I got an email, and I mean, I used to talk to Jared every day on Skype every morning when you drive to base because he's active duty, man. And they were like, hey, well, we want to do a movie. And I literally was like, oh, that's cool. You're gay and stupid. And I didn't agree with it. And then Rocco and Jared both convinced me to kind of like be a part of this thing. And then once I started, I was you, Ross, with the directing side. I didn't believe in it. I was like, this is gay.
Right.
Until like the one day on set when he pulled me aside, I was like, holy fuck, this is actually happening. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, hey, Matt. You know, I've got a funny story that I've never told you guys too. When I came to El Paso to do the rewrite for the first time, after the end of it, and we were like, you know, I was getting ready to go back to the airport. I turned to Jared and I said, "By the way, how long you guys been in business?" You know, and he's like, "Oh, almost a year." And I was like, "Wait, what? That's it? A fucking year? Like you haven't even because you know like you know when you own your own company, it takes." Fuck, man, 4 or 5 years until you're profitable, successful, and this or even able to do shit like this.
And this
like,
is the thing, man. So I'm not stroking our dicks here because I feel like we've been doing that for the last 5 minutes, but like really what it comes down to, man, it's the community, dude. Like you have, I tell you, and I'm not even trying to fucking blow smoke up everybody's ass, but like there's no way that we'd be successful if it wasn't for what we've done. And kind of the approach that Jared and Rocco and I took was just kind of like, what do we want to see when we're deployed or in the military? Because you're fucking working obnoxiously on long hours. You're not getting the payment over it. You just want you want a fucking outlet, a humorous outlet. So we were like, how can we deliver that to the people, like, or brothers and sisters? Like, how do we do that? And that's where that came about. And then you slowly progress into like the theatrical sense of like, how do we deliver a movie where it's like, this is what everybody wanted, an insane cinematic experience where it's like, we push the boundaries and say, fuck it. So like none of this would ever, I would still fucking be deploying, which I only quit in May last year. If people weren't aboard, like on point with all this stuff. Yeah. So I'm super thankful and I'm super excited. And like,
one thing too, Ross, that we had never talked about is like Rocco and I, cause Cody picked you up from the airport that day. Rocco and I were sitting at the house and we were like pinging because we did not know what to expect.
Yeah, we had no...
This is the first time we're ever going to meet a Hollywood guy. We spent some money. Like I didn't know when we booked your plane ticket, do we have to give this guy first class? Like, does he require first class? Like, there was all these questions.
A lot of people do, by the way, but
And, you don't. As cocky as you are, you're really down to earth, dude.
Absolutely. So, like,
exactly. And I wasn't going to be the asshole who's like, oh yeah, I've got to have first class. I got to have my own hotel. I need a fucking limo. I need all this shit. Like,
it was scary. It was scary.
And so we did not know what to expect. You walked into the door. You set your shit in the hallway, and you had your computer bag, and you said, "Where can we all sit down?" And you beeline straight to the table, and within 2 minutes of you being at the house, you had the computer open, you set the timer, your phone, you go, "I want you guys to read the first scene of your movie." And you started timing it, and we all read it at that table with Cody, Rocco, everyone was playing other people because Matt was gone.
Yep.
And you stopped the timer, and you go, "Look, your first scene is 16 minutes. That is boring as fuck. We need to get this to two."
To 2 minutes. Yeah.
For you to walk through the door, like we did not know what work ethic.
Yeah. I want Rocco's like,
No,
too.
Yeah. That's exactly. It
was I want to get to Rocco because you know, out of all of this, you found the original writer, Billy J.
Yeah, and that's exactly.
And he was a friend of yours, and you guys had workshopped this script for a while, going back and forth of what you thought was going to be good.
Yeah.
So give us his backstory and how you guys met and. Because it all started with that, you know?
Right.
It started with that script.
He originally hit one of the emails, and I run several of the emails. And so we went back and forth for a while. He said he's a writer. I'm like, all right, cool, let me see some of your shit. He sent me some stuff. I read it. I was like, it's actually pretty good. And we went back and forth for a while. He goes, listen, man, I'm interested in writing a story about you guys. And he was thinking of something like, the dudes that go to Vegas, those four fucking dudes.
Hangover.
Hangover,
military version of a hangover. And so we were starting with that, and then I was like, man, I don't know. Let's just fly him out here. So we talked to JT and Cody, and we decided let's fly him out here for a couple days.
On the company's dime.
Yeah, and the company's dime, and then let's just see what happens. This dude comes out and he's just a fucking wizard on the goddamn keyboard, man. And so we hung
crushing
out.
It.
Yeah, well, we hung out.
He's a wizard, but insane.
he's
dude. I got a story to you after you're done.
He's a writer, man.
If no, I love him too. Like
I've never met him. You know, I've never met him.
No. Billy is the epitome of a writer, right? And I wasn't being rude. What I'm saying is, like, dude, he's the creative guy that pushes the boundaries, which is like kind of what we needed for the film. So like, when we had a rewrite, man, we had to do the rewrite. We're like, we need a scene where we were like JT or whoever it was, all three of us were like, we need cut shots. We need to make like, you know, like a revamp for the audience to kind of really fuck with their heads. And the shit he wrote, like, how would I say that? It's like. Contextually, how he wrote it was brilliant because it was like the cut scenes. Yeah. I was like, God damn, that works. But the scenes he wrote was just kind of like, oh, fuck, Billy. No, we can't put that in a movie. Like,
yeah. I remember
that's what
that.
racist rape looks like, you know, like,
And that was the thing. So when he finally he hung out, and we said, we want a zombie film is what we finally decided.
And at the time we had the marketing director from 5-11. Yep. Like if you read that first script, it emulates everybody that we kind of were surrounded with
at that time,
Unicorn Girl, who was an airsofter that we were sponsoring at the time. We had Dave, who was working for 5-11. Yep. We were including everybody that was just
an amateur script.
So
he put his script together in what we didn't really know exactly what a Hollywood script would be or a full feature length film would be, but we thought we had something that was fucking doable, dude. And so when Ross came in and told us about the first
shit on everything,
we were just like, oh.
No, it wasn't that because his first reply after, again, like I did not expect an answer from him for 6 weeks. I just honestly in my head, I said, I'll hear from him in 6 weeks. I don't expect it. Literally the next day, I read the script. It's funny, but it needs work. There's no way you can make this for what you're talking about. Like, it's way too long because it was 130-something odd pages, the first draft. You gave me the facts, and that's when I went back. Like, Rocco and I went back to all of our business guys, or everybody that owns Art 15 with us, and said, okay, Ross Patterson has read the script. He says he will rewrite it for a fraction of what he charges to rewrite a full screenplay. Do we want to do this? Everybody said yes, except Matt.
Everybody said yes with Matt. Yeah, listen,
I'm just kidding. You were gone. You didn't.
No, I said.
But
no.
you guys were also a new company. And the fun thing for me, by the way, when I flew in, my first meeting with you, Matt, is you were in Iraq. I think it was
one of those countries
somewhere.
Yeah. So we did a Skype together. Yeah. We got along really well on the Skype, and it was really funny. But I was like. I remember when it ended, I was like, oh my God, he's in like one of those countries where he's probably going to have to go kill somebody right now. Like, I better do a good job on this script or he's going to come home and be even more pissed off about it and be like, well, fuck him.
I got a question, man. Weston, you've been around the Hollywood scene for years. The way this whole movie came to fruition and everything else, what is your thoughts on that, man?
Sorry, we went full fucking Range 15 talk tonight.
I will say this, Matt. It's an exciting time. Most independent films don't come out in theaters, especially ones this crazy. There was a comment on the message board that said, hey, you know, Ross Patterson, have you ever had a wide movie beyond like, you know, New Guy and Accepted and all that other shit? I was like, no, usually my movies typically get about 20 to 25 cities for a reason. They're too crazy that a studio won't release them in theaters.
Right.
They'll be amped as fuck to release them on DVD. Like, you know, Universal did FDR American Badass. They did Pool Boy Drowning Out the Fury. They're amped as long as it goes to, you know, to home first.
I know,
in theaters, it's really crazy.
My whole thing was just like, this is not us talking about ourselves and our projects. It is a little bit, but like, we're thankful for everybody that supported us. And that's where we're
extremely
going.
Grateful. So, yes. And extremely
Weston,
grateful.
So Weston, who's a producer in LA and everything.
And the outside looking in. Really.
Yeah. Outside looking in, man. Give us some perspective on what the fuck we're fucking up.
Because you came in very early on.
Yeah.
Like we had.
And by the way, Weston, keep in mind they're going in at about 200 to 300 theaters this summer, which is I know. Crazy.
Weston saw,
I mean, it's crazy.
Ross, Weston yeah. saw the original Zone 15 yeah. script, your original rewrite. So your first rewrite, Weston saw that.
Yes.
Like, oh, so wow.
Wow. All right. All right. All right. Lay it on us, Weston. Yeah, lay it
no,
on us.
No, Ross, it already blows me away. And I wish that when I first got into the business back in the late 90s, that there was this type of veteran presence and veteran movement in the entertainment industry, because what's happened and what I've seen is, you know, it's amazing. It really is. The support that everybody gets and all the love that comes to these guys, it blows me away. And it just, you know, Matt, you know, everybody always thinks, you know, goofball, this or that and that. But I've had the privilege to talk to him, you know, when the cameras aren't on and everything like that, and get some seriousness out. And he writes, you know, from the heart, in the sense that, you know, the veteran community, it just goes to show you what we can do when everybody comes together. And when we support, we don't need Hollywood. And I've been working in it since 98 and watching what these guys do. I mean, it's Maverick time.
Yeah, what did you think of the script, Weston? So when you first read the very one, first draft,
the
yes,
initial one,
the
I
very
was
first
like,
one.
Okay, all right. Okay, this is we're gonna work on this. This is gonna take some time. This is definitely more money than what you're talking about. But
so after you read my rewrite then of that original script, how did you feel then? Where you're like, all right,
no, I felt
like a new guy.
Yeah, no, you can tell. Yeah. You can tell definitely.
Love it.
Went to. You know, the fat was trimmed, essentially. Ross, you know what it takes. You've been in this game a long time, and
yes.
You've done a lot of the movies. And you know what a $50,000 movie looks like, and you know what a $50 million movie looks like. And
that was crucial to this whole thing, too, is the fact that a guy that had produced went through and just combed through this to say, okay, if you want to make this happen, here's what it's going to take.
Yeah. Well, you look at our community, they're fun, and like at the end of the day, all the shit that veterans, you know, go through, you know, whether it be depression, death, Medicare, whatever it is, the heaviness, and I spoke about this to Rocco today, there's just a heaviness that, you know, I don't want. And like to hear you guys and to see the fun and the joking and like talk like how we talk in the barracks and just, you know, some of the just the shit that you guys bring to the screen is awesome.
To speak on that, man, there's so much like that's associated with the veteran community. And I think with this movie, it's going to piss a lot of people that don't know us off. But that's a good thing, because there's such an ostracization of cultural difference between like general society and the veteran community, where it's like they don't really understand where we're coming from, right? So you make a dick joke, you make this. Their understanding is just like, oh my God, they're disgusting and graphic. Well, not necessarily, right? All those things are stemmed from like really fucked up scenarios that we've all dealt with. So it's like this movie, like I can't think of anything out there that represents our community in the humorous way that we approach it. Like, I can't. Like, I've sat there, I've Googled everything. It's like the
It's not just sophomoric humor, though. That's a release
for
a lot of
people. It's not a sophomoric humor. Yeah. It's a very... the way this movie is written, if you want to approach it in, like, a sophomoric way, then yes, you can look, oh, there's a dick joke and there's this, but, like, the overall presence of the movie is really kind of like a dark representation of her humor. Like, it's a macabre way of looking at things. Like, it's scary, but it's fun, because it's like we've all dealt with these gnarly situations. Like we've all, you know, your buddy gets shot, he's bleeding out, he's going to die. Like, bro, I love you. Oh, but your leg's a little red. Like that's the kind of way. So like the only way you can really live with like operating in those extreme environments, like LEOs, firefighters, the veteran community, anybody that like,
officers.
Yeah, all those people that live in those environments, like the only way you can go home and be a good father, a good husband, or whatever, is to laugh at yourself.
Dude,
because
easy.
The shit
the
you
release.
Go, it's the release. And I think a lot of people look at it face value. Again, here's ranting Matt. But, like, they don't understand it. They look at it on such a fucking, like dermal level where they're just like, oh, yeah, oh, that's disgusting. Like, fuck you. You don't understand, like, the amount of craziness that went into this individual's life that he's having to deal with on a daily basis. He needs a release. He needs to go home and laugh at something. Yeah. Fuck. Like, these dudes get me. These dudes fucking
We've
get me.
We've experienced that.
Right.
And we experienced it first with the PTSD cut shot of the video that we did of you might be dating the military, where you saw hundreds of people, thousands of people saying, oh, this video is real fucked up. But then when somebody commented to them saying, no, did you look who these guys are? They're actually the people. Like,
and you guys have close to 8 million views on that video right now, by the way.
Well, that's why, because laughter is the best drug, man.
Number two, we saw it at Sundance. We saw a guy say, don't you think that lone survivor joke is a little much? And then Marcus Luttrell is standing right there going, that was me, you dumbass. That was me making fun of me.
I am the lone survivor.
It's funny. People that don't walk in those kind of environments don't understand it. But even nurses, I've worked in ERs before with nurses that have some dark humor, and it's like funny, man. But you know why? Because they see the darkest
shit every day.
And you have to laugh. Every day. It's part of that.
If you don't, it's going to take you over.
Oh, well, it'll consume you, man. Yeah.
To synopsize this, Jack Mandeville actually had one of the greatest quotes. We were trying to drive up in Utah, and we were sliding out.
Listen, I said Beaver.
But I heard it too.
We drink during this.
No.
We drink a lot during this.
So, Jack Mandeville from Ranger Up, he had a wonderful quote, and I fucking love it. It was called, "Being offended is a luxury." And I truly believe in that sentiment because it's like all these motherfuckers that are like, that offends me. I'm like, yo, motherfucker, shut the fuck up, bitch. Like, go live in a third world country where you say, oh my God, my foot hurts. I'm offended. Shut you. You don't. You do not have that fucking option. Yeah. There is not.
You're
an
lucky
option
to be offended by us.
Right. Bring that fucking understanding to first world countries, and then maybe you can live a normal life, because it's like a lot of us have been in those situations, and like, I'm not even portraying myself that way, but like, God damn it, man. Like, for once in your life, understand that life cannot be easy. Like, we're lucky. We are very lucky to be in this position. We're lucky to be at a fucking Drinking Bros fucking podcast talking shit. Like, and the more that people in America understand that, then maybe they're willing to sacrifice more for the betterment of fucking society. Like, Jesus Christ, you fucking pussy.
Exactly.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. On that note, so hey.
Sorry
cheers
for
to Range 15. Cheers to making it in theaters. That's a big deal, and I wanted to talk about it. Sorry if I got us a little off topic.
No.
I want to go, though. I want to go even more off topic because late last night I was up. I saw Dana White on SportsCenter talking about Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor. Rocco, will you talk about this dream fight we're about to get to see in a couple weeks?
From the corner with Vincent Vargas.
Yeah, so
it's gonna be the Matt Hess episode because I'm talking
so much
shit tonight.
No, it's fine because so there's some huge MMA fans in this crew. Me and Matt were one particular big fans. We try and watch everything.
Ross Patterson, motherfucker.
You're right, dude. I apologize. And I'll say this, man. Fucking McGregor and Dos Anjos is one of the most anticipated fights ever because it was going to be the first time in UFC history they're going to be trying to unify these belts, if you will. He's going to fight for a second belt, man, which is fucking nuts. He was going to be going up a whole weight class to Go ahead.
No, explain it more. Who's Conor?
Conor McGregor is the 145 champ. He was going to
love him.
He was going to jump up to the 155 division and try and fight the champ.
Yeah.
And within his next fight, I mean, just the next fight, insane. What that was going to be, man. If anyone else tried that, I mean, it hasn't been done. No one's ever tried it. So the fact that he was doing it
with
the confidence he has, fucking insane. But then what happens? The other day.
The most exciting man in sports, I think, today, right now.
Dude, I would agree with you. There's some guys in this room that don't agree.
Who's more exciting than Conor McGregor right now?
Oh, dude,
in all honesty.
Well, I mean, I'll disagree with anything because I'm like a devil's advocate.
I'll say this. To me, he is our modern-day Muhammad Ali. And that's what, and I'm not gonna say he's to the caliber of Muhammad Ali because he still has to prove himself more, but he is the shit talking, attention seeking, badass motherfucker who's proved it every time in the ring.
So I feel like Vince, I'm gonna throw you for a loop right now.
Go for it.
Okay, I think we talked about Conor McGregor on an earlier episode.
McGregor.
He's, you know, the 145 champ. He knocked out Aldo very quickly.
Yeah.
The only fight I've ever bet on, and I lost $1,000. I own that. I sucked. He was supposed to fight Dos Anjos, 155. He wanted to take two belts, which would be the first time ever in UFC history that two people hold belts. Now, with that whole shenanigans, Dos Anjos broke his foot.
He did.
2 weeks out from the fight, which is yesterday. And and the way that we're looking, we're Rocco and I were talking, man. We're like, oh man, is it Cerrone? Is it Donald? Like Cowboy Cerrone? Like we wanted all these people, and Nate Diaz took the fight. But if you watch the recent press release from Dana White, essentially Nate Diaz wouldn't fight if it was he wanted 165 pound division, so like a catch weight. McGregor's camp said no, we want to fight at 160 if you want to do that. So it's, you know, basing up 5 pounds, and then they came back and was like, no, it's 165. So McGregor, and I'm gonna support McGregor on this. He was like, fuck you, you're a pussy. I'll fight you at 170, bitch. So
wow. So look at it.
He upped his he upped his weight class 2 times, and I got to admit, I think McGregor is a fanboy. He's going to get knocked out very soon. But the fact that he's willing to accept a fight 2 weight classes above him is a boss move, man.
Like, I don't see how he wins that. And look, I love him. You know I'm a fan.
No.
I'm a fan, but how does he win? How does he win?
Let me, Ross. I
think he's going to win that fight. Nate?
Rocco, can he win through technique?
Oh, technique alone, he's going to win. Listen, but here's the other thing, Ross. You know this. As fighters, they cut easily 20 to 25 pounds before a fight.
So McGregor's going to walk in there at 165.
He walks around his normal weight class. He doesn't
give a fuck. Nate Diaz is going to walk in. Here nor there. But I think that fight is so complex in my head because you have such a weight differential. I think about 20 pounds. I'd be willing to bet. But then you worry about 2 weeks' notice. So you know Nate Diaz. He was smoking pot and drinking Bud Lights. Like, let's be real. He's not about that life.
He's
eating burritos.
He don't give a shit.
And then he's on
the JT diet. He's on the JT diet.
Yeah.
But I love burritos.
But he's eating po' boy shrimp sandwiches out of a truck stop.
I love him.
And Rocco and I were talking about this. Like Connor is very, he's got that straight left that's insane. What the fuck was that, dude?
Nothing.
I'll fucking knock you out.
No, me and Rocco are having like, so he, I'm doing a duck face. Like,
he's got that straight left that's amazing, Ross. But at the end of the day, like, that weight differential, it's scary. And you can't really knock Nate Diaz. He's been knocked out once. I think he
finished once.
And he's a brilliant jiu-jitsu guy.
Dos Anjos was the one who actually fucking hammered him the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny.
And by the way, the final thing about McGregor, I don't think Dana White wants to kill another Golden Goose.
No, yeah,
he had
all,
Ronda Rousey.
All his Golden Goose have been fucking taken out.
That's why he fed him hate, dude.
That's what I think too. In the end, is going to happen, but
that's a good thing
because
Nate has the opportunity to win this fight, which is awesome because I really want Dana to be like, "Oh, Nate Diaz, he'll get knocked out." Connor, I can still the Dos Anjos fight down 6 months when he's healed, and boom, KO'd McGregor. I love that.
Yeah, fight's a fight.
Yeah, it would be fucking chaos.
Anybody
if that
who steps
happens,
in that ring has a chance to fucking win a fight, dude.
We're the pussies outside of the ring talking shit about the guys that are fighting.
Nate Diaz is not some fucking slouch, dude. He's gonna come in there. He wants to win it, dude. Yep. Those guys from Stockton, him and fucking his brother, are some badass motherfuckers.
I wish it was Nick fighting him.
Dude, and I think Nick would win.
He would slap him.
I think it's a big difference. I think it's a big difference in characters. But either way, we went more in depth with this. I did a fucking, what's it called? Rocco's what?
It's corner time with Rocco.
Right, corner time
from the corner.
From the
corner. Corner time
from
with Rocco.
Corner time. Rocco. You'll
and
have
me and Weston reviewed a movie.
Yeah, so you guys will have
Which
those
film?
On the podcast for sometime this week.
It was called
Project Almanac.
Yeah, Project
the
Almanac.
The latest tween movie.
Okay, great.
Shut
awesome.
Up.
Shut up.
Ross JT made me watch a tween movie. Yeah.
Shut the fuck
No. Look. I can't wait to hear it. JT, you do movie reviews on our fan page, on a Drinking Bros podcast fan page on Facebook that are awesome. And I'm amped about that. But where are you going next week, my little fat bottom girl? Did I hear you're going to the Grand Canyon?
Yes, I am. I'm
the Grand Canyon?
Washington. So I'm going to Washington to pack, and then 2 days after packing, the whole crew flies in a C-17 down to Arizona. We will be in Gila Bend, Arizona, doing all kinds of really cool shit with other countries, special forces.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you in the Grand Canyon? Are you around the Grand Canyon?
Hang on. Here's how it goes.
I'm pretty sure that you're going to be watching it on fucking Google Earth and actually sitting in a room.
Yeah.
Air Force doing.
We've got Kansoff. We've got Ossoff. I don't even know who's showing up. Latvia Soft. Like, who cares?
Airsoft.
But, yeah, Airsoft.
Melania. Is Melania? Melania Trump showing up? Melania?
We're doing 5 days of exercise at Gila Bend. Then everybody convoys up North Arizona. We will all hike into the Grand Canyon for 4 days. We hike out, and then we go back down south to Gila Bend, and we do another 5 days exercise.
That, cool story,
that's how
bro.
That's how you know Jared's a good salesman, when he can make the Air Force look tough. You know?
I would like to give a shout out to one of my very good friends at my unit named Michael McCaffrey, who's about to earn the Bronze Star with Valor.
Oh, great.
He gets awarded
beautiful calves
in a month.
Outstanding.
For a battle that you probably read about 2 years ago, where literally one platoon of infantrymen were surrounded by over 400 dudes.
Damn.
And at Doab. It was the Battle of Doab.
And just so you know, Ross, anything with a valorous award has to do with something that goes good
Doab.
In combat.
So,
right? So you can get a Bronze Star for fucking fixing an air conditioner, someone puts you in for it. Cool. But if you get a valorous award, that is
something. This is an E4 that's getting that, too.
Or you can put in for a Silver Star in our combat.
So here's one thing about this battle is at one point in the battle, the weather was so bad because they were in a bowl. So they were surrounded 360 degrees by mountains, and they were in the center, and they were getting attacked from all directions. And an AC-130 was going into this to support it. And the pilot calls back to all the crew saying, hey, weather is so bad, we can't see anything. There's a chance that when we come through this, like, we could hit a mountain, we could all die. But these guys are getting so fucked right now, they probably all will die if we don't make it. So the crew took a vote. And this is legit. This has actually happened. This is on Air Force record. The crew,
holy shit.
The crew said 100% unanimous, absolutely, we're going to save these guys. He Winchestered two AC-130s, which means...
Winchester means they ran out of
all
rounds
of their
complete.
Ammunition.
Rounds complete.
105mm, 20 millimeter Gatling gun and 40 millimeter cannons.
Chills thinking of that, man.
Like, this was a 13-hour continuous battle that they
Ross,
and he is finally
Jesus
getting
Christ.
Recognized for it.
Hey, Ross, check this out. A lot of people don't understand, like, everybody thinks like war fighters or whatever, like, okay, I get it. But like, there's a lot of instances in the military, and I think we've all dealt with them, like, people make like a conscious obligation to say fuck it and help people out.
Oh,
like,
yes. Oh yeah.
Like, I'm going to give a shout out to to the 160th SOAR, man. Yeah. 160th SOAR is like special operation guys that used to fly for Ranger Battalion, fly for CAG, whoever. Yeah. Those guys,
night stalkers,
so many times, man, like, we've been in gunfights, and like, their obligation through the DOD is not to fly through a certain time restraint. So it's like,
you.
When sun comes up, they're not allowed to fly. I mean, and unless they say fuck you, you know, and those guys will be like, no, oh, the Rangers are pinned down. We're going to go grab them. And they'll land in the most fucked up places where you're like literally looking. You're like, you can't land a helicopter there. And they're like, you're like, oh, my God, they're fucking bad. So it's like
they don't show that shit in the movies. They do not show that shit in the movies.
My last deployment. You remember that? Our first mission, my last deployment. In Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Smith got
shot.
Yeah.
Through the shin.
And then,
sucker.
Bing, bang, boom, they dropped the fuck out of motherfuckers because we were fucking held tight. It was a fucking good mission.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, exactly that. It's when you need them, game over.
The funny crush of incidents, though, is Matt was there when one of our major incidents happened.
Shot in the leg.
Like,
or
no,
arm,
he got shot
me.
Through the fucking
arm.
Forearm. Yeah, well, one of my buddies.
Yeah,
fucking shot through the
let
forum.
Me tell a story, dude. Funny story. So I was talking to Jared. I was first platoon. He was third platoon. That was, I think, my fifth deployment that happened. Yeah. Whatever. So we're talking about this RCO, whatever. He's kind of wasn't RCO. He's a bitch. Whatever. Oh. He wrote himself. I think he wrote himself in for a Bronze Star for that.
Yeah.
But the JTAC, he got...
And you can do that. You can do, like, you can write yourself...
If you're an officer, you can write your own shit.
They got into an ambush. They got in a firefight, whatever.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Standard procedure.
That's like writing myself in for an Oscar.
No shit.
Exactly what happened.
I should write myself in for a fucking Oscar, then.
I'll tell you, in the military, there's a lot of people that don't need awards that have them. There's a lot of people that need awards that
don't have them.
And that didn't care.
But this guy he's talking about, which it was funny.
Scott Woodring.
Yeah, Woodring. He... Literally, they got into an ambush. They're getting fucked up, and the Ranger CO, who's an officer, was like, "All stand and charge the fight and whatever." And the Air Force JTAC, who's been on like four deployments, was like, "Hey, we're taking direct fire. I'd probably stand down. He grabs the case, or the CO, excuse me, pulls him down and gets shot right through the fucking forearm.
This
guess who got the Bronze Star?
Yeah,
the officer.
And this guy, Scott Woodring, is the dude.
He's a badass.
He taught me how to fight like an infantryman. I mean, he taught us.
Eat donuts?
No. I mean, he had gone through Ranger school.
Yeah, yeah,
he had gone
through
Ranger school as an E4. Yeah. Like, he was at the 14th with us. So he taught all of us at the time, like, hey, guys, here's how you operate as a platoon. Like, so I spent so much time with him.
While we're giving shout outs, if you don't mind, during that mission, the guy who called for fire, that one was a JTACer. His name is Mark Lomas.
Jesus.
Lomas is badass.
Lomas called for fire, and that's what pulled. Dude, we were in an alley. We were in that. My squad was in an alley. I was part of the brother.
War story.
Yeah.
War.
Yeah.
War.
Yeah. And no shit.
That's right. You guys were
was
war.
Flying. Like, my MRE spilled. And it was. No, I'm just kidding. But either way, Mark Lomas was the guy who fucking called fire that day and hammered that fucking house down.
Dude, you guys had a rock star crew.
We did.
I got a good story.
Second Bat had a rock star crew. Hold on. Of JTAC.
Ross,
Lomas is just a good drinking buddy, too.
I got a really good story, guys. Not really good, but. So I get a text message from a girl that I was really close friends with back in Santa Barbara. She texts me. She goes, do you know this dude? It's a dude that I was the Ranger team leader on, and he was a CSAR. He's a PJ.
Nice.
And they met on Tinder.
Oh, boy.
No,
yeah. There it is.
Check this. She's a wonderful person. She's a badass. She's a cool girl. The guy's awesome, too. And she goes, he like not claimed that he know me, but he was like, we had a page in light, like
Like
Tinder shows you the funny thing is how many of my friends
so
have gotten laid
like,
because
she was
they
like,
know
do you.
You
know Matt? And then he was like, oh, are you a fangirl of Matt? And she's like, no, like I lived in Santa Barbara with Matt. I used to be best friends. So she texts me and I was like, that's fucking awesome. Because
the first time a Tinder match have happened.
No, I know. No. And she was like, am I good to go? And I was like, yeah, fucking do it. And she was like, hell yeah. So I was like, boom, it's got funny. My buddy laid.
Because even in North Carolina, we were there, same thing. There was a couple that showed up to hang out and meet with us when we were with Ranger Up. And they were like, oh yeah, we only knew you were going to be here because we met on Tinder. And our like, remember that?
Was the Matt page?
Matt message, dude.
That couple. That
holy
was
shit. Yes.
Listen,
Matt's getting.
The reason you know you've made it in life is
Matt's
when your friends get laid.
Yes.
Or, you know, Facebook has now made it possible today that you know you can make it if you get a fucking emoji instead of a like on your
goddamn
page.
Dude, we just noticed that today.
We're trying to figure it out.
We noticed that today, Ross. What is that?
Have you seen that of those Facebook reactions? What the fuck is that?
How do I even do it? I can't even figure out how to do it.
Yeah, we're still. I think it's still updating, just like Instagram is.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't want a sad face. You know, when you post shit or like a devil head.
We
I don't
just,
want a devil head
we
when
just
I post
saying,
shit.
I don't know what
that
means.
Well,
that
we're
what
saying
does
that
devil
dude, like,
head mean?
The one thing that Facebook has is really like a positive outlook. Like, you know, 15 people like my post, 30 people hate it, but I don't know 30 people hate it. So
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
It's fun,
exactly.
You know? And now it's like, oh, they can make a throw up face. I'm like, bitch, I'll kill you.
Now you're gonna get a fucking
throw
devil. Yeah.
Well, here's something.
Yeah. No, yeah, you are.
That's
you
horrible.
Hey Ross, here's something new on Instagram. Instagram actually tells you how many views your video has.
Yeah, video.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, is it
that
weird
just
that
popped
Facebook
up today?
Owns Instagram? Oh
it's
my
all,
God!
Oh my
never
God!
All updating.
It's all
yeah,
conspiracy.
And,
yeah.
My drinking.
And both
bro.
Of them happened on the other day. I will say this though about Instagram with the views. I was convinced that people were watching my shit over and over again, which they were, and that confirmed it today. But with Facebook, I don't want to know if I write something bad that you're going to fucking write a devil face in there and be like, "Oh,
yeah,
I hate
I'm
you."
I'm
cool
yeah,
with
yeah,
it.
I agree with
you know?
That.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here.
I'm going to tuck those feelings really deep down in my stomach, like right where like my burrito
Barium.
Is, right up my ass.
Barium, yeah.
I'm going to put my dick in my sack and piss in that motherfucker and see how that goes.
Oh, yes.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Drinking
exactly.
Bro of the Week.
Yeah.
Who is the drinking bro of the week? Michael McCaffrey.
Michael McCaffrey next month will receive the BSM with V.
Good for him.
Something that was well overdue that
and
took
Lomas.
A long time
and
for him to get recognized Mark. For. So
can we make two? Mark
yeah,
Lomas.
Yeah, fuck.
Mark Lomas.
Mark
Lomas.
Two tack bees.
Two tack bees.
No, he's a PJ. He's a PJ.
No,
Mark
he
Lomas?
Is a tech
Mark
beat?
Lomas is
okay.
a tack
bee. He's a tech
bee.
Yeah. You know Lomas?
Yes.
Oh, that's my motherfucker.
Dude, he's a good dude, man. Really fucking
dude,
good dude.
I just reconnected with him recently. And it was just
you did?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I love
yeah.
the dude. Love the dude. Mm.
So those two, they're heroes.
Those are we have dual drinking
it's,
bros of the week.
Yeah,
it's
those
things
I like
that you don't that you never know. It's yeah. like it's, you will meet Mike. You will know Mike for fucking over a year. You would never know that he was a part of one of the most heinous fucking incidents that had happened in that area.
Good
like
shit.
Yet because he doesn't give a shit. He's a fun guy. He loves fucking having a good time. He loves drinking. He loves hanging out. And he's nice to everybody.
You know who's talked too much tonight?
No.
It was me and Wesson.
Yeah.
Wesson,
you guys
Wesson,
had a whole
you didn't
fight.
Shut the fuck up
tonight. You guys had a whole fight.
I know. You know how it is.
I started texting.
Wesson, we appreciate you coming on to the show. Sorry we didn't have a lot of
time. Yeah. Hey, no.
Guys, listen. First time listener, long time stalker.
I've had a great time.
I'm just happy to be in town, get out of the office, and start the collaboration on what's going to be a kick-ass show that we're going to be doing together.
Hanger time.
Yep. Expect Key and Peele to be coming to you guys for tips.
Listen, I'm gonna key my dick and peel it back and fuck bitches.
Oh,
you know?
That's
boy. Selena Gomez is not gonna call you back.
I know Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez
is not calling
you back.
Wait.
No, she's not.
No,
she's not. So hey guys.
No, fuck off.
Yeah. Cheers to the dual
guys.
Drinking bros of the week.
Cheers.
Hey,
and
Ross,
JT, why don't
before he does the outro, can we just thank Drinking Bros?
Thank you, the Drinking Bros.
Absolutely.
Hey guys, we love you. Come on, let's give a cheers to the Drinking Bros, guys.
Cheers to Drinking Bros.
Cheers to the Drinking Bros.
Thank you.
For everything you guys
yeah.
do. Honestly,
what's up? And
just keep going real quick. I just gotta refill a little bit.
Seriously, just talk about the drink, bro.
Jared, we're done. You can keep drinking on your own in the garage, like a fucking gentleman.
I
tell you what, Jared, go out in the garage, rip off the top of the lawnmower, start sniffing the gasoline, and then make
what's
yourself
up,
a drink. Do whatever you need
Weston
to do.
Weston wants to talk real quick.
Just real quick, guys. Since I haven't talked a whole lot during the thing, I want to give a quick shout out.
Yeah.
To two guys that introduced me to you crazy guys.
Yeah.
And because of them, I'm very happy with where I'm at and love them. Marty and Matt.
Hey.
Marty Scovlin.
Yeah. Nomadic veterans.
Marty Scovlin.
Nomadic veterans.
Matty Sanders.
Good dudes, man. Good dudes.
Good
dudes.
Good dudes. Great dancers.
Yes.
Great dancers.
That's it.
Really, really free dancing. They're the best at that.
JT, let's
close this out. We love you,
Jared. Yeah, Jared, close us out. Who is this show brought to us by?
This podcast is brought to you by Carnivore Club. What goes great with both beer and wine? Meat. For those meat eaters listening, imagine this. Every month, somebody packs 2 pounds of the tastiest, highest quality dry cured meat they can find into a box. And then they mail it that box just to you.
Oh, my God.
And it's new meat every month. Venison
new
jerky,
meat.
Wild boar salami, spicy spreadable pork, you name it. Well, it's a real thing. It's called Carnivore Club. Taste it for yourself. Go carnivoreclub.co and sign up. You can use the promo code DRINKINGBROS to get 10% off your first box.
So that's a subscription version of that. We actually just like the product. That was great.
We've been eating it all night. We love it.
Is it not carnivoreclub.com?
It's carnivoreclub.co. And it's Drinking Bros, DRIKNBROS for 10% off.
No, we love
10% off.
They support the show, guys. We love them. Fucking awesome.
I mean, you get
meat. they make all this possible, so thank
anytime,
you.
Anytime I can stuff 2 pounds of meat in a box, I'm happy.
Ross, I got this for you. Freedom the fuck on, and let's close this bitch out, dude.
Boom!
Exactly. Boom. And you know who else likes two pounds of meat in a box? Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
Good night, everyone. For Matt Best, Jared Taylor, Rocco, our special guest Weston, and Ross Patterson, we are out of here. Good night, drinking brothers.
Hey,
we love you.
Suck it, fuck.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future.
A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.